All right, welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Minister Marcus Taylor, and as always, it's a privilege and an honor to come before God's people, sharing in the word of the Lord. Amen. All right, tonight's topic is entitled, The Battle Within. The Battle Within. And my scriptural text is actually coming from two different places tonight. The first one I want to read is from Romans 7, verses 15 through 20. And then we'll go to Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17. Amen. That's Romans 7, 15 through 20, and then Galatians 5, 16 through 17. Amen. But before we get started, let me go ahead and just breathe a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Father God, for this time together with your people to share the word of the Lord. I pray, Father God, that something is said that will help your people understand the word of the Lord better. And that, Lord, I also pray that if someone who's listening is not saved, that something will be said to make them want to know more about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As always, Father God, I definitely decrease, and I ask the Holy Spirit to increase, and that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, Lord God, please let it be acceptable in your sight. You know, these things I pray in the mighty name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is so, and amen. All right, again, the topic of this discussion tonight is talking about the battle within. As a believer, you must know that there are going to be battles outside and inside. When I say outside, it means the world is going to battle you because of the fact that you belong to Jesus Christ. But the battle within, that's inside of you. There are some things that as a believer, you're going to have to battle, and you're going to have to confront, and you're going to have to be able to stand against. Amen. And we're just going to be talking a little bit about that. And if you still don't know what I'm talking about or referring to, let me just put it like this. Sin is a battle. Now, because of the fact that Jesus Christ died, he was buried and was resurrected, that actually gives us a new form of power against sin. But just because we have power to defeat sin doesn't mean that the temptations of sin won't come to the believer. Amen. This is what you have to watch out for. You have people out there who think they're super Christians and that they can walk in the midst of temptation and not be burned. Amen. But we know as believers that you don't want to play with sin, because the wages of sin, as the Bible says, is death. So I just want to talk a little bit about that, because I think nowadays in Christianity, as far as a lot of teaching that I have run across, sin's just not preached or talked about as much as it used to be. But it's still a real problem, and probably even more so now, because there are more ways to be tempted. You got the internet, that's a form of temptation. You have TV, you have different avenues that the enemy can use to draw you into temptation. Amen. So again, the topic for tonight is the battle within. And I'm going to go ahead and get started with the reading of our text. First, turn with me, if you would, to the book of Romans chapter 7. I want to read verses 15 through 20. Romans 7. 15 through 20. I'm going to be reading tonight from the New King James Version. The Bible says, "For what am I doing? I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. And if then I do what I would not to do, I agree with the law that it is good." Verse 17 says, "But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I don't do it. But evil I will not to do, that I practice." And verse 20 says, "Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Amen. All right. And take your Bibles and turn with me over to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. And I want to read verses 16 and 17 here. Galatians chapter 5, 16 and 17. Amen. And the word of the Lord reads, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Amen. All right. That's my spiritual text for tonight. Romans 7, 15 through 20 and Galatians 5, 16 through 17. Amen. All right. As I said, I thought it would be good to talk about sin. But you have to remember this, that this topic of sin is a very unpopular subject in Christianity. But it's also a necessary topic nonetheless. Now, I'm talking about sin, and I'm not going to just talk about it from the perspective of what it is. I also want to talk about the ongoing battle that rages within each of us. Amen. This is why I have entitled this message, The Battle Within, because if a person who is a believer in Jesus Christ will just be honest and truthful, we all sin. We all sin. The Bible says in Romans 3 and 23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if you think you're a super Christian and you're not missed it, you're lying to yourself. Because at some point, you either thought something, you said something, or probably even did something. Amen. But thanks be to God that God's a forgiving, merciful God, that he does forgive us if we confess our sins. It says in 1 John 1 and 9, if you confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Amen. But we have to realize that as far as I can remember, saints and the people of God who profess to be followers of Jesus Christ have always said, be careful of who you hang around, be careful of what you listen to, be careful of what you allow yourself to look at and hear, because sin is always present. Now, I didn't understand what the old saints were talking about then, but I do now, because that is so true. If you don't watch what you listen to, if you don't pay attention to what you're watching, your mind can go places that you, as a saint, you really don't think you could go, but you can go there. Sin is always present, knocking at the doors, waiting to pounce on you. So you got to be careful, amen? And I think that the reason why this sin topic is not preached in churches a lot now is because people don't want to hear about the sin in their lives. They want to hear, we're going to be blessed, going to give me a house, going to give me a car, the abundant overflow. Okay, those things are fine. Don't get me wrong. It's okay to have nice things. We all desire nice things. But when nice things take precedent over your lifestyle as it relates to following and being obedient to what the word of the Lord is saying, then you have to probably go back and just ask yourself, what am I really doing? Because if you're just in this walk for stuff, then you've already missed it. Because these things that you want and desire, although, you know, there's nothing wrong with wanting a nice house, nothing wrong with wanting a nice car and to be financially secure. If you place those things as an idol, then what are you doing? You're putting those things above God. And we know that our God is a jealous God, and he won't have no one to take his glory. No one, no thing, no car, no house, no person, nothing. So if you are placing these things at the head of your life, then you need to go back and do a reevaluation of why you think you are a Christian. Because if you're a Christian, a true Christian, the focus should be on God and God alone. Sure, we live in this world, but we don't have to be of the world. Amen. And when I say of the world, meaning the thoughts, the desires, the ways that the world thinks, we don't have to be that way. And it's important that you also know as a believer in Christ that when you allow yourself to be trapped or to walk in the ways of the world, then you're definitely going to be off track as it relates to the things of God, because your focus is going to be switched. It's going to be changed. You're not going to be thinking about the things of God, because you're going to be out here trying to do the things of the world. I heard a friend say one time that, sure, we're Christians and we love God and we want the things of God, but what's wrong with wanting and desiring some of the things of the world? I said, well, you first need to go back and reevaluate your statement, because what it sounds like is that you're more focused on the monetary things of this world than you are your relationship. Not judging him, but I had to let him know your focus is got some things that need to be addressed, because you can't be a Christian and love the world. In other words, you're going to have to choose a side. And that's just the way it is. You're going to have to choose either God, or as the Bible said, you're going to choose God, or you're going to choose mammon, which is money. The Bible also says the root of all evil is the love of money. Amen. If you love money, and prayerfully that you can get yourself back on the right track. Again, there's nothing wrong with having some of the monetary things in life, but if you put those things above God, then there's a serious problem there, amen. But again, I wanted to kind of go over this topic of sin, because believe it or not, as a believer, you're going to be confronted with it, amen. That's just the way it is. I remember when I first got saved, I thought that unknowingly, because I hadn't been, you know, haven't been a Christian for maybe a month, that okay, I'm saved now. So the sin battles and the things I think about and things I've said and all the stuff, I'm not going to do those things anymore. Those thoughts are not going to come on my mind anymore. Of course, I wasn't versed in the word, because I had just become a new believer, amen. So after I was in the word a little while and found out that yeah, you had to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, I understood what that verse was saying. You have to be transformed in the renewing of your mind. Renew your mind means that you have to have a new mindset, a new way of thinking. You can't think the same way you did as it relates to when you were in the world. Now that you're a believer, your mindset, the things that you concentrate on and think about, must be rooted and grounded in the things of God. And if you do it that way, or as the Bible says, being led of the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. That's the problem in Christianity too. We have a lot of saints who are walking with God, or trying to walk with God, but still fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And again, this is not a judgment, because we all have missed it, as the Bible says. I quoted you Romans 3:23, but we also have to realize that if you're sold out for God, then some things have to change. Some behaviors, some mindsets, some actions, some words, your whole perspective on life should change. And I think Christianity today has allowed, or I'm going to say Christianity today, I just say some leaders unknowingly and some knowingly have allowed different things to take precedent over teaching against sin. Let me tell you one that is very prevalent in Christianity today, and that's the doctrine of prosperity. There are so many prosperity teachers out there, it doesn't make any sense. Where in the Bible can you find that everybody's supposed to be a millionaire? It is not in there. But yet you have leaders and pastors and bishops and apostles who are telling the people, yeah, if you give this amount of money, God's going to make you prosperous, or God's going to make you rich. Okay, yeah, he will prosper you because he loves you, and it's not because of what you give. God is a giving and merciful and loving God, and he loves his children just like a father would love his children. What dad do you know that if his kid asks for something, he's not going to give it to him? He's going to turn him away. God is the ultimate vision of what a real dad is supposed to do. And he loves us, and he takes care of us, and he provides for us. But at the same time, you have these people telling their flocks, you will be a millionaire. And I'm not saying everybody will be poor, but everybody's not going to be a millionaire either. So, and I'm not against the prosperity in the church. I think that God's people need to be in a place where they can financially advance the kingdom. And that's good. But at the same time, I would say to these pastors and teachers, stop telling these people that everybody in that congregation is, hey, you know, is going to be a millionaire, because that's a false hope. They're not. The Bible says you will have the poor among you always. So if you're going to have the poor among you always, that lets you know right there off the flip that everybody is not going to be a millionaire. Amen. So I digress. I kind of went off track a little bit, but I had to get that out, because I just get so worked up when I see and hear preachers saying that, yeah, the prosperity of the people, that's the most important thing. And they have really just eliminated the other valuable truths of the Bible to go straight to a prosperity doctrine. A prosperity doctrine. I can't find Jesus preaching that all of his disciples were going to be rich. I can't find that nowhere in the Bible. I can't find Paul saying to his followers, all of y'all going to be rich, going to be millionaires. I can't find that in there. So why are these people teaching this? Why? It's because of sin. Sin comes in many forms. It comes in a form of a mindset. It comes in a form of a temptation. It comes in a form mostly of an action based off of a thought or an intent of the heart. If you're thinking about something, the next stage is you're going to ponder on it. Then you're going to ponder on it for a while. And then next thing you know, you're carrying out that action that you thought about. It's subtle at first, but it will take a hold and a root if you allow it to. Amen. I think often about in Genesis where Cain and Abel presented their sacrifices to God. One, Abel, his sacrifice was accepted. But Cain, his sacrifice was not accepted. And Cain had the audacity to get kind of angry at God. You know, why ain't you accept? Well, why can't you accept my offering? And God told him, you know, why is your face downcast? If you would do what you were supposed to do, you would be accepted too. But he also told him a little bit further on in that discourse that sin is waiting for you at the door. In other words, it's waiting to pounce on you. Keep having those thoughts of anger. Keep being frustrated. Keep thinking negatively. And sure enough, the action is going to come out. Well, you know the end of that story. Cain killed his brother Abel because he allowed sin to take root in his life. We as believers can't allow sin to take root in our life because the consequences are devastating. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Amen. So that's talking about spiritual death. And of course, because of the fact that Adam and Eve sinned, now we here, our bodies are going back to the ground where they came from. So sin has caused a lot of trouble in the life of the believer. But glory be to God. When Jesus Christ came, he lived, he taught, he gave examples of how we're supposed to live. But he also gave us the ultimate example when he died and was buried and was resurrected. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. Amen. This is Easter week, or as I call Resurrection week. And I hope you have taken time, because Resurrection Day is going to be this Sunday. I hope you've taken time to realize what Jesus Christ has done for you. That you are saved, not because of what you did, but because of what he did on the cross. They whipped him all night, beat him, punched him, put a crown of thorns on his head, spit on him, pulled out his beard. And then they had the nerve to nail my Savior to a cross. And then on top of that, they still mocked him. If you are the Son of God, get yourself off this cross. Even the thieves that were with him, they mocked him too. Well, at least one of them anyway said that, you know, if you can save yourself, save us too. But even in that, and after all he went through, you know, Jesus could have said, you know what? I'm not dying for these people. Lord, get me off this cross. But that's not what he said. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And because of that, if you can't praise God for nothing else, praise him for the simple fact that Jesus endured something that I don't think any of us would have, could even bear, even a part of what he had to go through. But instead of him, and like I said, he could have had angels come down and get him off that cross, but he didn't. He stayed till it was done, until he went down to the lower parts of the earth and retrieved the keys of life. And then went and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen. That's good news for somebody out there. If you are wondering about Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can have him in your life. The decision is yours. Believe in your heart and confess in your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you shall be saved. Amen. It's as simple as that. But anyway, getting back to the sin topic. Now, in our society today, we see more and more of unrighteous behavior being tolerated in the church. And that's sad that it's even being tolerated in the church. And the reason why it's being tolerated in the church is because of the fact that some leaders, not all, but some, have placed so much emphasis on the monetary, meaning the money part of ministry, that they have allowed sin to creep into their congregations. In other words, they're saying, I can't preach against sin, because if I preach against sin, those who are giving me all these tithes and offerings and gifts, they're not going to start. They're going to stop giving. And I can't have that, because I got to have my huge sanctuary. I got to have all the latest technology in my churches, TV screens and all the rest of that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But again, if you've placed that as your God, then there's something wrong. You have to preach on sin, because sin is a real thing. And it's also taking a lot of saints, or it's going to take a lot of saints to hell. And I'm just telling you the truth. I'm not going to sugarcoat this at all. People think that just because a person professes Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, sure, you will be saved, but you can get yourself off track to the point, even being saved, that God will turn you over to a reprobated mind. That's in Romans. Read the whole book of Romans. It's a great book, one of the best books in the Bible. But even God said, when a person is so far off in sin, he's going to say, okay, I'm going to turn you loose to do what you want to do. You know, if you don't want to be kept, I'm not going to keep you, basically. So if you are a believer in Christ, don't get so comfortable with your life to say that, well, I ain't worried about going to hell. I ain't worried about messing up. I'm not worried about getting off track. I'm saved now. I don't have to do anything. Yes, you do. You have to continue to pray. You got to continue to fast in your life. You have to continue to read your word. You have to continue to meditate on God's word. You have to continue to seek the things of God. You got to watch what you watch. You got to watch what you hear. You have to pay attention to what you say comes out of your mouth. It's a lot that you have to do as a believer. Once you give your life to God, it's not over. There's a lot of things that you have to do. Amen. Now, even in our book of Galatians that I read, chapter 5. Looking at verses 16 and 17. I'm going to say this again and read this again for you. 16 says, I say then, walk in the spirit, and you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What that's saying is, walk in the things of God. Depend on God's spirit to guide you. In other words, your mindset after you gave your life to Christ should have been renewed. And the spirit is going, what the spirit is in you. Allow the spirit to keep you. And if your spirit is in you and it's keeping you, the things that you used to do when you were in the world, you're not going to want to do those things now that you're a believer in Christ. And verse 17 says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit. This is an ongoing battle. That's why I titled this The Battle Within. There's always going to be a battle. The spirit's going to battle against the flesh, and the flesh is going to battle against the spirit. That's just how it is. You have a choice as of the outcome, if you give in to the flesh, you're going to allow the flesh to win. But if you walk in the mandate, if you walk in the ways of the Spirit, then the Spirit is going to win. Amen. If you are a believer, there is no way that you should let the flesh have dominion in your life. Not saying that you won't sin. I'm saying, but if you let it have dominion, meaning it sets up an authority, it has you bound to the point where you're not doing what the will of the Lord is saying. You're not obeying the gospel. You're not doing what the word of God is telling you. Then yeah, you have allowed the flesh to take precedent in your life. Amen. So again, I wanted to talk about sin a little bit because it's something that, if not checked at the door, could cause havoc. It could also destroy lives. And that's just the way it is. If people don't realize that sin is a real problem, their lives could be wrecked. Time and time again, you see people who are believers turn and go the opposite direction from God because they have allowed sin to take full control in their lives. And it's sad. But you don't have to be that way as a believer listening tonight. Walk in the newness of God's Spirit. Read your word. Pray. Ask God to help you. The Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, all he has to do is ask. Then again, we find it in Matthew. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Ask God to help you. Now he will. His Spirit's going to guide you because the Spirit dwells in you. The Bible says in John 15, that if God's Spirit abides in you, then you abide in the Father. So if God abides in you and his Spirit abides in you because God is a Spirit, then you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. Because your focus is rooted and grounded in the things of God. So I hope this encourages you tonight. You don't have to be bound up with sin. You don't have to let sin take a hold of your life. You don't have to let sin have the authority over your life any longer. If it is, then ask God to repent. Ask God to forgive you. Turn from your wicked ways. Get back in your place with God and move on to his perfect will for your life. Before we close, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Father God, for every listener on tonight. Father God, I pray right now, Father God, if it's any believer that's battling sin within, that's dealing with some issues, some strongholds, Lord, I pray right now through my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that you would deliver, set free, and give them a newness of life. Give them joy and peace that you have offered more abundantly. And Lord, I ask right now, that if someone else is listening out there that doesn't know who you are, I pray, Lord God, that they will turn their life around, that they will give their life to you and want to know more about you. I thank you, Father God, for this avenue to tell people about sin and the death that it can cause and the problems. But Lord, we don't look at what sin can do. We're looking at what you, Father God, can do. And the Bible says we can do all things through faith. Faith in you, faith in Christ. Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for, Lord, keeping us and protecting us in the midst of any trial, temptation, or circumstance. And Father God, I thank you for always being there present, helping me to live my life better each day. Lord, forgive me for my sins, transgressions, iniquities, thoughts, opinions, words, intents of the heart. Create in me a clean heart. And renew a right spirit within me. And Father God, I pray for every family that's listening on tonight. Bless them, Lord God. Protect them and watch over them. And Lord, I thank you for allowing us to have this time together tonight. These things I pray in the mighty name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is so, and amen. All right, well, I hope and pray that you were blessed by tonight's teaching. And I pray that you will seek God on a more intimate level, praying, fasting, reading your Bible, and meditating on God's word. Until next time, be blessed, be safe, and remember, Jesus is Lord. Amen.